This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The topic is the sunnah. What's the big deal? The concept of sunnah is misunderstood not only among the disbelievers but also among the Muslims themselves. We live in times of tribulations, calamities, fitan. People around us are anticipating the right moment to attack, to strike hard, not for any other reason than because we are Muslims. They hate us because we are Muslims. Now, in order to get our things straight and back to the straight path, not the convention, but the real straight path, we have to seek the guidance from Allah Azza wa Jal and from the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam. So what did the Prophet tell us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the authentic hadith? Listen to this hadith. The Prophet says alayhi salatu wassalam, I'm leaving among you two things. You will never go astray as long as you adhere to them. So this is very important. The Prophet ﷺ is giving you a guarantee. You'll never go astray if you adhere to them. The Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anyone who reads this hadith, even if you get someone from the street outside and tell him, what do you understand? He will tell you, if you do not adhere to the Quran and to the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, you will inevitably go astray. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand this. So the Prophet is warning us not to go astray. He's showing us the road to guidance, to success. And he is telling us that this cannot be attained until we adhere, we abide by the sunnah. What is the sunnah though? A lot of the Muslims nowadays have confusion. When you tell them, Akhi, you have to grow your beard, he said, no, I don't have to. It's a sunnah. What do you mean by sunnah? Others, when you talk to them about important things in the religion, they ask you, is it mandatory or sunnah? So there is confusion in the meaning of sunnah. Linguistically, sunnah means the path or the way that is continuous and constant, whether good or bad. The Prophet says, alayhi salatu, and this is used, by the way, in the Quran. I will not give you the evidences, but if you read the Quran and you contemplate, you will find that the word sunnah means the way that is constantly used, whether good or bad. So good people have good sunnah. This is my sunnah. This is my way. Bad people have bad sunnah. This is used in the Prophet saying as well, عليه الصلاة والسلام, من سن سنة حسنة ومن سن سنة سيئة. Whoever sets a good precedent in Islam, whoever sets a bad precedent in Islam. So it can be used both ways linguistically. Okay, we don't want the linguistic meaning, Sheikh. We want the technical meaning. Technical meaning, again, there is a number of definitions. Why? Simply because there are a number of different branches of knowledge in Islam, as there are a number of different branches in engineering, in medicine, and in other sciences. So not every dentist can be a surgeon, and not every doctor who's a specialist in eyes, I don't know what they call them, can fix your teeth. These are different branches. So sunnah, for example, when it comes to the scholars of hadith, who are the scholars of hadith, science is a separate branch that deals with the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And they consider their knowledge, their science, to be sunnah. So they study the sunnah. Ask them, what do you do? They say, we study the chain of narrators who conveyed the hadith to us. We study the matin, the text itself. We study the men, each one of this chain of narrators. We have to know their biography, their authenticity, their reliability. So when we tell them, what is your definition of sunnah then? They say, in our science, the science of what? Hadith. Alhamdulillah, there is someone awake. Ya Rabbi, lak alhamd. May Allah keep him awake. Ya Allah. When you ask them, how do you define the sunnah? They would say, anything that the Prophet ﷺ said. Text. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. This is a text. The Prophet said this, ﷺ. Or he did action. The Prophet used to pray Friday prayers after the khutbah, giving two sermons. He never said this. He never told his ummah, pray two sermons, sit in between, then pray two rak'ahs jum'ah. Never. And it's not found in the Quran. So how do we know it? By his actions, sunnah. Then by his approvals. Can I eat desert lizard? Wow, why would you want to eat something like, ya akhi, don't go into my intention. Can I or can't I? Wallahi, let us look in the books of sunnah. What did the Prophet say? Nothing. What did the Prophet do? Nothing. Did the Prophet approve it? Yes, Khalid bin Murid sat once on his table and ate it, and the Prophet was watching. He did not comment, he did not prohibit, he did not deny him. Means that it is sunnah. It is approved by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Number four, his description, physical or moral conduct and behavior. So when they told us that the Prophet was not tall and was not short alayhi salatu wasalam, and he was in between, his eyes were wide, his bone structure was big, etc., we take this as sunnah according to the scholars of hadith. And finally, they add the seerah, the biography of the Prophet ﷺ, part of the hadith. So his battles, his events, the things that happened in his life, all of this is considered to be sunnah. Wow. Okay, this is number one. Number two, when we look at another branch of knowledge in Islam, we know usul al-fiqh, the fundamentals of fiqh. Fundamentals of fiqh is a beautiful branch, but it is very technical. It does not go into details. It takes rather the helicopter view over the sharia. So when they say sunnah, they're not referring to putting the hand, right hand on, over the left on your chest in prayer as a sunnah. No, they are talking about the sunnah as one of the sources of legislation in Islam. So they believe that the first source of legislation is Quran, then the Sunnah, which we take all rulings pertaining Islamic legislation from it. Then they have the consensus, al-ijma'. Then some would go into qiyas, analogy, etc., to the different branches. So their sunnah is not related to his battles, not related to his description, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not related to the other things that we have mentioned earlier. They are related to what we can obtain legislative rulings from. Then we have a third branch known as fiqh, jurisprudent, sharia law. This goes into details. Here, the scholars of this branch of science refer to the sunnah as one of the five categories of deeds. In Arabic, they call it al-ahkam al-taklifiyah. Everything we do has one of these five rulings. So if I'm speaking to you now, this is an action, it has one of the five rulings. If you pray, if you eat, if you drink, if whatever you do, it has to fit one of the fives. Either it is mandatory, wajib, or fard. Or at the bottom, prohibited and haram. Two. And then you have number three, something that is highly recommended. They call it mustahab. If you do it, you're rewarded. If you don't do it, you have no sin on you. For example, praying two rak'ahs before fard of fajr. What is the ruling on this? This is called mustahab, highly recommended. In this branch of science, they call it sunnah. And then you have makruh, which is something disliked. If you do it, you're not sinful, but if you leave it, you are rewarded. And then we have the one in between, in the middle, number five, which is permissible. Whether you do it or you don't do it, this is up to you. So these are the five categories of deeds. Now, when you compare fiqh to hadith, to fundamentals of fiqh, you'll find that when you speak about sunnah, it's different. So if I tell you, according to the linguistic meaning, what is the ruling on Fajr Salat, Fard? It is sunnah. What is the ruling on performing Hajj once in a lifetime? It is sunnah. But when I come to the fiqh ruling, this is different. Entering a masjid with my right foot first is a sunnah. But if I enter it with the left, there's no problem. Makruh. But growing the beard is a wajib. It's not a sunnah only. It's a sunnah and something that is mandatory, that is wajib. So if you do not understand the reference of the word sunnah, you tend to fall into error. There is also the definition of sunnah according to the science of aqidah, which is the highest and utmost important science of all. Aqidah is what you believe, your conviction. And it's based on monotheism. It's based on tawheed. So when the people of aqidah talk about sunnah, they are referring to fellowship. They don't talk about permissible or recommended or man. They talk about fellowship. So whenever they speak about sunnah, they speak about following the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is the essence of Islam. And usually, they also talk about sunnah in contrast to bid'ah. So the scholars of aqidah, they are the foremost prominent speakers against bid'ah. Because bid'ah, innovation, goes against the religion of Islam. Don't be fooled by their masses, by their numbers, by their aerobatical stunts. Some of them, you know, swirl, some of them fly. This is not something to be impressed with, because this goes against Islam. How? Like Sheikh Sa'id Raji, may Allah bless him, quoted the ayah, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum. Today I have completed your religion and perfected my favor upon you and approved Islam to be your religion. So whatever was not a religion at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam cannot be Islam. So you say, Sheikh, you're wearing a watch. So I'm not praying with my watch in the sense that, oh, I don't have my watch, I cannot pray. This has nothing to do with religion. This is like riding a car. You say, the Prophet did not do it. So you're innovating. Ya akhi, don't take us away from our topic. Ya, come on. Give me a break. He said, yeah, you have to follow the sunnah. Say, follow the sunnah, ride a mule, and go to your office. Because the Prophet used to ride the mule, alayhi salatu wasalam. So, this is difficult. It is not difficult. You have to think logically. Innovation deals with deen, deals with our own practice, trying to get closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. But it does not deal with what I wear, what I use, a pen or a car or a watch or a microphone. So you have to get things clear. Innovation goes against Islam. And this is why, to the Aqidah scientists, when we talk about Sunnah, we talk about everything that deals with the deen in terms of conviction. That is why Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal compiled a book, called it As-Sunnah, and his son Abdullah compiled a book, called it As-Sunnah, and Ibn Abi Asim compiled a book, called it As-Sunnah, which included a lot of things that related to authentic aqidah. Without sunnah, your aqidah is incomplete. How come, Sheikh? We have the Quran. Yes, you have the Quran, but you need the sunnah to clarify to you, to explain to you what is in the Quran. Imagine, without the sunnah, you won't be able to fully understand the beautiful names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, because the sunnah has brought us a lot of that. You won't be able to believe in what all Muslims believe in, and that is the coming of the Dajjal, the Antichrist. Where in the Quran is mentioned the Dajjal? It's the greatest tribulation and calamity ever to face mankind. You won't be able, without the sunnah, to believe that Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, will descend at the end of time to kill the Dajjal. All what we know in our aqidah in terms of the soul coming out when people die, the life of the barzakh, the pleasure and torment of the grave, resurrection, the sirat, the path, the scale, the hawd, the pool where we, inshallah, will drink from the pool of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and many more. All of this is not mentioned in the Quran. It's mentioned only in the sunnah, and your aqidah will never be complete without understanding the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Part of the declaration of faith, part of your shahada, ashhadu anna muhammadan abdullahi wa rasuluh. If you don't say it, if someone says, hey Sheikh, I say ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, I believe only in one God, but I don't believe in Muhammad, you're in hell. No doubt in that. Don't have second thoughts. The Prophet said, alayhi salam, by whom my soul is in his hand, no Jew or Christian would hear of me and not believe, except he will enter hell. No one on earth who heard of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, who had the message of Islam reaching him, and he does not believe, he will not go to paradise. No way. So part of the declaration of faith is to believe him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in whatever he says, to obey him in whatever he orders, to refrain from whatever he prohibits, and not to worship Allah except with the religion that he directed us to. So you might do the first three, but the fourth, a lot of the Muslims are not doing. They're worshiping Allah Azza wa Jal. Why are you doing what you're doing? Wallahi, it sounds nice. Why are you praying this kind of fabricated prayer? It's good. Why do you do what you do? I feel whenever I do this, I get khushu' in my heart. What do you mean? He said, ya akhi, when I put my hands on my chest, I cannot pray that good. But if I put it on my forehead, mashallah, I feel that I'm reaching the heavens. This is innovation. He said, yes, but I like it. Akhi, without following the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, you are in your road to destruction. And nowadays, see, in order to be a good crime fighter, you have to think like a criminal. And now the enemies of Islam are doing exactly the same thing. They've tried to undermine Islam from many sources. They've tried to attack us physically. They sent their armies. They tried to brainwash us. It doesn't work. It works a little bit, but Islam always prevails. Now they're relentless effort is directed on attacking your sunnah. Just casting doubt in your heart, even if it's 1%, good enough, that maybe the sunnah is not good. Maybe the sunnah is not complete. Quran is okay, we know. No doubt in that. But the sunnah, maybe this hadith is, so once you have this probability, the concept in your mind to doubt the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, then you are doomed. Maybe not today, few weeks, few months, inevitably you will reach there. Why? Because Allah Azza wa Jal has taken a vow upon himself to preserve his religion. And his religion includes the Quran and the Sunnah. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, and Allah has revealed to you, meaning Muhammad. What did he reveal? Listen, Allah has revealed to you the book and wisdom, and has taught you which you did not know. Imam Shafi'i, may Allah have mercy on his soul, says in this ayah, the book we know, and the wisdom, all those whom I have met from the tabi'een, and those who took the knowledge from the companions used to say that the wisdom is the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. It means that Allah revealed the sunnah. It's a revelation. It's not something that the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam and it so happened to be okay. Everything that the Prophet says alayhi salatu wasalam is a revelation. Evidence, the beginning of Surah An-Najm. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. By the star, when it descends, your companion, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has not strayed, nor he erred, nor does he speak from his own inclination. It is not but a revelation revealed. Who's saying this? Allah Azza wa Jal. Do you have doubt? No, Shaykh, I believe that the sunnah is from a revelation, but this hadith, maybe the Prophet was not in a good mood. This was said. And the Prophet is a human being. He can be in a good mood and he can be in a bad mood. One of the doubts that the Orientalists throw in our hearts, accompanied by Shaitan, taban, they say that Sunnah was not written except 300 years after the death of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. You always hear this. The Sunnah was not compiled. Bukhari came 180 years after the death of the Prophet alayhi salam. Da, da, da. Nonsense. All of this is not true. Listen to this authentic hadith. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, a companion and a son of a companion, well known. He used to write everything that the Prophet used to say, alayhi salatu wasalam. And the Prophet used to see this until the people of Quraysh, the tribe of Quraysh, told him, you write everything that the Prophet says, alayhi salatu wasalam, when you know that he's a human being and he sometimes is happy, pleased, satisfied, and sometimes he's angry. So do not do this. So Abdullah says, I refrained. I stopped writing until I met the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and I told him, the people of Quraysh, the tribe of Quraysh, they are telling me not to write whatever comes from your mouth. What did the Prophet answer him alayhi salatu wasalam? The Prophet said to him, write, for by whom my soul is in his hand, nothing comes out of me except the truth. What does this mean? It means that he did not approve what they said, that he says something when angry other than when he is pleased and satisfied. Everything that comes out of his mouth is truth. And if there were something that may confuse you, Allah has made that a blessing. Even if the Prophet at times of anger curses an individual, he himself told us that this curse is a call of Allah's mercy, and Allah has transformed it from curse into a mercy when he's angry with someone. So this is a blessing by Allah Azza wa Jal to our Prophet. So nothing comes out of his mouth except the ultimate truth. And sunnah is not only for the time of the Prophet's alayhi salatu wasalam's life. It is ongoing. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger and those in authority among you. Obey Allah, we know. But how do we obey Allah? At the time of the Prophet, how did Muslims obey Allah? By reading the Quran. And nowadays, how do we obey Allah? By reading the Quran. How do we obey the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal? Definitely by following the Sunnah, by obeying his instructions. And this is mentioned a lot in the Quran. Listen to this ayah. And we revealed to you, O Muhammad, the message that you may make clear to the people what was sent down to them. We revealed to you a message so that you may make clear to the people what was sent down to them. What was sent down to them? Hello? What was sent down to them? Quran. So what is the message that was revealed to him so that he can explain and clarify what was revealed to them? The Sunnah. These are two things. The ayah is clear. Allah Azza wa Jal has revealed to him the message, and that message would make clear to the people what was sent to them. Now, if you go to understand the Sunnah, this is not the right time. You need a workshop, but I'll give you glimpses in whatever remains. How much time do they have? Anyhow, I will continue, inshallah, until they come. So listen, if you want to look a little bit deeper into the Sunnah, a Sunnah specifies whatever was general. Let me repeat. The Sunnah specifies whatever was general in the Quran. How is that? Allah says, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ وَالدَّمْ. Prohibited to you are dead animals and blood. What do you understand? You understand that every type of dead animal, every type of blood is haram, correct? The Sunnah comes and the Prophet says, alayhi salam, there are two types of blood that were made halal, and there are two types of dead animal that were made halal. So the blood is the liver and the spleen. These are halal. So the ayah is general. The exception is these two. And the locust and the fish are dead, but we can eat them without having to slaughter. You don't bring a cod and say, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and you slaughter. It's a fish. You just catch it and you eat it. It's dead. The Quran said it's dead meat, but it was made halal. So this is specifying what is general. Also, there are things in the Quran that are ambiguous. What is meant by ambiguous? Meaning that we know the word, but we don't know the details. Allah says, وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةِ. Allah says, establish salat. How many times a day? Open your book. Open the Quran. Tell me what are the times, beginning and end. I don't know. How many? Five. Okay, what's the format? Fajr, two rak'ahs with four sajda. Dhuhr, asr, isha, four rak'ahs with eight sajdas. Maghrib is three rak'ahs with six sajdas. This is confusing. Where is it found in the Quran? It's not. Where is it found in the Quran that there is a prayer for seeking rain, a prayer for the eclipse of the sun or the moon, a prayer for Eid? And by the way, the prayer for Eid, the khutbah is after the prayer, while in Jum'ah, the khutbah is before. Now you're getting me confused. So how would I know? You have to learn the sunnah. If you look at zakat, oh, zakat is easy, Shaykh, alhamdulillah. Very easy, huh? What's the percentage of zakat? What is the percentage of zakat? 2.5 or 5? No, I'm not asking. I'm telling you, 2.5 or 5 or 10. Or 25%. Huh, this is new. I have to learn the sunnah. You must. It depends on the crops that you give zakat. Sometimes it can be 5% if you irrigate it yourself. It can be 10% if it is irrigated by effortlessly from other than you, by rain, by rivers, etc. It can... I need binoculars, Akhi. Okay, 15 minutes. La, inshallah, enough time. So, we have to... How do I know that 40 sheep, the zakah is one, and 5 camels, the zakah is one sheep? Camels and sheep? Yeah, this is a sunnah. And if it's 30 or 40 cows, we have this wrong or the other formula that does not apply here. You cannot find this in the Quran. You must recite and read the sunnah. Go to fasting. No, Ramadan is close. You will understand this, inshallah, later on. But go to Hajj. May Allah make us among those who perform Hajj this year, inshallah. How would I know that Umrah requires 7 rounds of the Kaaba and 7 rounds in Safa and Marwa? And Hajj, there is tamattu' qiran, there is ifrad, and there is slaughtering, there is throwing the pebbles, there is going to Muzdalifah, there is doing... How would I know this? It's not mentioned in the Quran. It is mentioned in the Sunnah, and the Prophet says, خُذُوا عَنِّي عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ مَنَاسِكَكُمْ. Take from me your rituals. Then you must read and learn. And you go on when it comes to marriages, divorces, iddah, when you come to buyur, transaction, what is haram, the types of riba and how not to involve in it, and the rest of the prescribed punishment and jinayat, etc. Without Sunnah, Islam would be chaos, because each and every one would implement his own religion. And this is what's happening in the Muslim world. Muslim countries, we don't have the same Islam. Yeah, we may have salat, but everything else is different. And everyone else is implementing whatever goes into his mind. Without Sunnah, you cannot understand Quran. Sheikh, this is an exaggeration. Quran... We are Arabs. We know, well, some of us. We know the Quran is in Arabic. It's clear. The hand is mentioned in the Quran in different ways. You amputate a thief's hand. You wash in wudu your hand. And if there is no water, you wipe with the soil your hand. Now, in Arabic, hand can be this, from the wrist, and it can be to the elbows, and it can be to the shoulder. So when Allah Azza wa Jal says, as for the thief, male and female, amputate their hands, I go and chop his shoulder. Sheikh, this is an exaggeration. How would I know? If I make tayammum, there's no water. I just strike the soil or the ground, I wipe my face, and I wipe my hands. Why might as well take a shower? What are you doing? I have to refer to the sunnah. The Prophet tells us that only from the wrist you amputate the hand of a thief. And to the elbow you wash, as mentioned in chapter 5, Surah Al-Ma'idah. And as for tayammum, only the wrist and the hand is to be wiped in tayammum. Without the sunnah, I would not be able to understand this. Likewise, you cannot understand the sunnah. Let me rephrase that. Edit this, please. You cannot understand the Quran without referring to the sunnah, even if you were among the companions. Imagine, the companions came to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, and they were confused by one of the verses of the Quran. Allah says, they who believe and do not mix their belief with injustice, those will have security and they are rightly guided. So they came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, Prophet of Allah, we all do injustice. We have dhulm. We may wrong our spouses. We may wrong our children. We may wrong our neighbors. How is this? We cannot be guided. We cannot be having security on the day of judgment because of this. The Prophet said, no, you misunderstood. This injustice is shirk. The greatest injustice of all. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, indeed, shirk is great injustice. Inna shirka la dhulmun azeem. Shortening the prayer. We pray 4 rak'ahs when we travel, 2 rak'ahs. But this was mentioned in Surah An-Nisa chapter 4. When there is fear of the disbelievers, the companions went to the Prophet and said, we don't have any fear now. We're in Medina, we travel to Syria, we go here and there. We have no fear. Why do we shorten the 4 rak'ahs into 2? This is their understanding. The Prophet clarified it to them by saying, this is a charity from Allah. He has given it to you. Accept His charity. So now their understanding of the Quran has improved. So nowadays, if you look at the different sects in Islam, there are many. As Prophet said, 73, all in hell except one. The one who believes and follows the footsteps of the Prophet and his companions. And this is why we are known as Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah. And this is why the Khawarij do not refer to the Sunnah. That is why the Shia, Rafida, do not refer to the Sunnah. That is why the liberals or the secularists or even these new wave cult known as Al-Quraniyun, those who say, oh, we only believe in Quran and we believe in nothing else. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, warning us from them. He said, soon there will be a time when a man will be reclining on his couch, narrating a hadith from me, and he will say, between us and you is the book of Allah. Yani, this hadith is, no, it's disregarded. I don't believe in it. Between you and me, or on us, the book of Allah, what it says is halal, we take as halal. And what it says is haram, we take as haram. A'udhu billah. The Prophet says, alayhi salam, in warning his ummah, but listen, whatever the Messenger of Allah forbids is like what Allah forbids. This is the authority of the sunnah. Sharia is not only Quran. It is both. Believing in one over the other does not give you a complete Islam. On the contrary, it nullifies your Islam, a possibility. Listen to this ayah. Allah says, but know by your Lord. Allah Azza wa Jalla is swearing by himself. He says, but no, by your Lord, wallahi, fala wa rabbik, they will not truly believe until they make you, O Muhammad, judge concerning that over which they dispute among themselves, and then find within themselves no discomfort from what you have judged, and submit in full willing submission. Without these three conditions, you cannot be a full believer, a full mu'min. And this is what the companions understood, that sunnah is the second source of deen, of sharia, that cannot be overlooked. The idol worshippers used to be frustrated from the Muslims. Why? Because they follow everything that the Prophet ﷺ instructs them to do, to the extent that they went to Salman al-Farisi. And the hadith is Sahih al-Muslim. They said to him, your messenger has taught you everything, even how to defecate, how to take a crap. This is my own translation. Anyhow. So they said, he taught you everything, including this. He did not become angry. No, he simply said, yes, this is true. The Prophet ﷺ forbade us from facing or giving our backs to the Qibla when urinating or defecating. And he prohibited us from cleaning our private parts after answering the call of nature using our right hand, or to clean our private parts after the answering of the call of nature with less than three wipes, or to use dung or bones in cleaning our private parts. So he is confirming, Akhi, the Prophet did not leave us astray, alayhi salatu wasalam. He taught us every single thing in our religion, in our life, that we need. And if you look at the understanding of the companions, you will understand why they were the most beloved people to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Not only that, they were the most beloved people to Allah the Almighty, who has chosen them to be his messenger's companions. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and the hadith is both in Bukhari and Muslim, used to say, may Allah curse those who make tattoos to themselves and those artists who make tattoos. And may Allah curse those who pluck their eyebrows and those who have others' eyebrows plucked. And may Allah curse those who file their teeth, separating them, making it beautiful, and those who change the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, intending to be beautiful. A woman who was known to read the Quran a lot, her name is Yaqub, came to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and said, hey, wait, why are you cursing these people? So Abdullah said, why wouldn't I curse those whom the Prophet ﷺ cursed and Allah cursed in his book? She said, listen, I read the Quran from cover to cover, and never ever I found such a curse in it. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the companion, may Allah be pleased with him, said, if you have read the Quran, you would have found that curse in the Quran. She says, where? He said, where Allah Azza wa Jal says, and whatever the messenger has given you, take, and what he has forbidden you, refrain from, and fear Allah. So Ibn Mas'ud understood that in order to believe in the Quran, you must follow the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, otherwise you won't be a follower of the Quran. In conclusion, you all have heard this before. I have not introduced anything new to you. The purpose of this lecture is to confirm, is to strengthen, is to reassure the importance of sunnah in our lives. So when you want to know if someone is deviant or on the straight way, not the path, again, so I will not have to repeat the same. If you want to know if someone is deviant or on the straight way, you have to see how much is he abiding by the sunnah. I have seen so many people, unfortunately, they are da'is, that go against the sunnah. And when you give them a gentle reminder and advice, he said, "Ya Sheikh, it's sunnah, doing this." As if it is something to look down upon. And this is a great error and a sign of deviancy. A proper Muslim, whenever he is told that this is the sunnah, he refrains. He stops. He abides, because this is a sign of his true love to our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. هذا والله أعلم ونسبة العلم إليه أسلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.